faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord unto me. Well, as I look back on this road of travel, I see so many times He's carried me through. Well, if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning, His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There's a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. Every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation He has proved His love for me. And when I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. My Redeemer's faithful and true. And everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Oh, my Jesus, He's faithful and He's true.
Invite you to take your copy of God's Word this evening and turn over to the book of Ephesians. You see the title of the message is Redeeming Your Life, Redeeming Your Time that God has given us. Verse 16 in Ephesians chapter 5 says, as Paul is writing the church at Ephesus there, and he is bringing them, this chapter 5 deals with His commandment for them to walk in love, and He's giving them practical ways to put that into practice. And one of the things he shares here is talking about their life, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I heard a podcast early on this week talking about the legacy that we leave behind. And it just struck me because the person that I was listening to said that, you know, most people remember their grandparents. A few people remember their great-grandparents, just a little, but nobody remembers their great-great-grandparents. And the point that they were making is that usually within three generations, we're pretty much forgotten. Now, I'm not saying that to depress us. I'm just trying to help us to see as we're going to go through this evening is that God's given us an allotted amount of time, and we're to redeem it. I went to Google and just typed in what is the current life expectancy in the United States. And as of today, for both sexes, it's 79.25 years. So 79 and a quarter years. Most of the time, women outlive men. But let me give you another 9 months. Let's just say 80. And just as a little illustration, I cut this little piece of parachute cord, and let's say that represents 80 years. Can you see that? So that's 80 years, and if you're 20 years old, that's about how much time you have left. If you're just an average person, just average. Because we know that to live 80, that means that some people live 90, and then to balance that out, some live 60. Well, if you're 40 years old, that's about how much time you have. Again, just let it kind of seep in. I want you to see that our days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years, and they go by pretty quickly. If you're 60 years old, you've got about that much, and if you just turn 63, you've got about that much. Well, there you go. Now, if you're 90, and I was looking to see if Miss Ann was here, or over 90, you're hurting the average of the rest of us. But I just wanted to share that with you just to kind of begin to seep into your mind that we're not even promised tomorrow. That's if we're just average people. Scripture reminds us in Hebrews chapter 9:27 that it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. So God has limited our time. You don't take some notes. God has limited our time. And it's very brief in comparison to the centuries that others have lived before us and maybe the centuries that they will live after us. And these are just a few scripture. The psalmist has a lot to say, but notice in Psalm 39, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my day, that let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing. I mean, God is eternal, so it's nothing before you. Surely mankind stands as a mere breath. Psalm 79, he remembered that we were but flesh. Notice how he characterizes us. A wind that passes and comes not again. Now, I've included that for you to study the rest of the week, but it uses words like the days in Psalm 90, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. So teach us to number our days. Psalm 144, we're but a passing shadow. In Job 14, we're born of woman a few days. 1 Chronicles 29, we're a shadow. James says that we're a vapor or a mist and then vanishes. So we see how short our life is in this life, but I wanted to include the contrast of that with what Jesus said in John 11 concerning our eternal life. So we're a mist or we're a vapor that quickly passes away. But notice what Jesus said in verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he lives that short 80 years. Yet he shall live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So we are eternal beings on this earth, but for just a moment. So let's look at verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 5 and see what God would say to us tonight. And let's make a good evaluation of our life. Let's look back at where we've been and where we are and where we're going in the coming days. I think verse 16, chapter 5 tells us that we are to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Let's look at these words for just a moment. Redeeming the time. That word means that you are trading your time for something. You are swapping your time for something. You are purchasing. You are using your time, and you're getting something in return. You have placed a value on your time, and you have swapped whatever you desire for that time. You have literally made an appraisal. You've done that this evening. You've had many choices to make. A lot of things to do on a Sunday evening. And so you considered what was the best use of your time. You appraised the different choices, and for you, it was coming to church. It was not forsaking the assembling together. And you're sitting under God's Word. And I believe you made the right choice. And I believe you valued giving up part of your time for something that's going to encourage you and be a blessing in the days to come. That's what it means to redeem your time. The definite article there, the time, is talking about your life. Every one of us, every single day, is going to make an appraisal of our day and all the choices that we make. And we're all going to reap what we sow. We might make choices, but we don't get to define how those choices literally turn out. We don't get to choose the consequences of it. Now, we can know some consequences better than others. I think tonight you're going to know that hopefully this is going to be a great blessing for you. And I'm going to ask you, I believe at the very end of the message, to put an appraisal on this. What would you have traded tonight for? So your appraisal was to be here tonight, and everybody else's appraisal was not to be here tonight. And the bottom line literally is, every one of us do exactly what we want to do. Every one of us are captive to our appraisals, right? So with that in mind, we see in Psalm 89:47, remember how short your time is and that you are redeeming it, and we're living in an evil world, and one day it will be over. So you are trading your life for something. You and I are trading our lives for literally some things. Are you getting a good deal? You just throwing it away? Never really thought about it. You just get up and live this day and get up and live the next day, and it's just the same old, same old. You hear people say that all the time. You wish somebody a happy birthday and they go, oh, well, it's just another day. No, it's not another day. Get that out of your mind. You're not considering that God has given you another year to live. You should thank Him for it. It is not another day. Tomorrow is not just another day. Tonight is not just another evening. We are to redeem our life every single moment of every single day. It is that important. Why is it important? Well, let me kind of jump forward a little bit, then I'll come back. We must give an account for that life. You and I are going to stand before Jesus Christ at the Bema Seat Judgment. And although all of our sins have been judged and we have been found innocent because Christ paid our full debt, our sin debt, He atoned for our sin, we are now innocent, but our works, how we live this life, how we redeemed our time, is going to be judged. And you see it very clearly there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We must give an account of this life. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. This is Paul again. We've covered this when we were in this chapter months ago. But Paul has brought the gospel. The gospel is the foundation. And now he's building upon it by teaching more of God's word. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. No one other foundation can another lay that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. So he is the only foundation. He is the solid ground. He is not the sinking sand. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. So there again, there are choices to make. There are appraisals that are made in your life. And we're going to talk about tonight the gold, silver, and precious stones. And I think through Scripture I'll be able to identify those for us tonight so that we aren't deceived and we aren't mixing wood with gold and we're not mixing silver with straw. Verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. What day? At the Bema Seat Judgment. Because it will be revealed by fire, and that fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which has built on it, endures, then he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That's why it's important. God has gifted us a day. I've said it many times. We can't overlook it. That every time your heart beats, it's a gift from God. Every breath that you take is a gift from God. He has numbered your days. He has appointed a day for you to go to heaven. And we are to take advantage of every day to live for Him. So the question I think we can answer tonight is simply this. How do we build with gold, silver, and precious stones? Another way of asking the same question is, how do we redeem our time? What is it that we need to know, and what is it we need to do? And I think Scripture will bear that out this evening. The very first thing that must take place is that to redeem your time, to redeem my time, you must be a Christian. You're not even in the game if you're not. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're going 100 miles an hour straight for hell. This has nothing to do with you. You will not be, if you're lost, at the Bema Seat Judgment. You will be at the Great White Throne Judgment. And anybody is at that judgment, and it's not going to turn out good for anybody there. They're all going to be cast into hell. But this judgment that we're talking about is only for Christians. So to redeem my time, I must be a Christian. And Jesus said that in John 3. Jesus answered, just talking to Nicodemus, and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we know that that's regeneration. We know that the Spirit, he gives the illustration of the wind goes where it wants to and blows, and we can't see it. And the same thing with the Spirit. And this is what must happen in each of our lives, that he takes us from being dead, separated from Him, none of us good, none of us searching after God or seeking Him, and He regenerates our minds and our hearts. And then we see what happens after that. You know that He gifts us with faith, and He gives us with grace and repentance and adoption and all the rest, as you remember the Ordo Salutis that we went over months ago. But we see that we're literally adopted in Romans chapter 8. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you what? Received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's the first thing that must take place. In order for us to be able to redeem our time, we must be Christians. Are you a believer tonight? Are you trusting in Christ? As you heard this morning, and I hope you did, that the linchpin, the whole foundation of our Christian faith is on Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. Have you called on the name of the Lord, believing, confessing and believing that His death, burial, and resurrection made full payment for your sin, and the great transaction that took place was your sin for His righteousness. So, First of all, you have to be a Christian. Secondly, to redeem my time, I must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is how we build gold, silver, and precious stones. This is how we redeem our time. We don't live a life based on our personal opinion or based on our personal control. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, this is just a few verses later. Again, he's telling us how to walk in the Spirit. He's showing us how to walk in love. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, which is all kinds of crazy living. See, a drunk is controlled by the drink. The more he drinks, the crazier he is, the more trouble he gets into. Why? Because he's controlled by the drink. And he contrasts that with, but be filled with the Spirit. The word filled in the original language means to be controlled. Just as a drunkard is controlled by his whiskey, a Christian is controlled by the Spirit. What a wonderful thing to think of. It's not talking about you have to be filled and filled. No, because once we became Christians, the Holy Spirit came to reside within us. He's not visiting. He's not here just over the weekend. He didn't show up on Sunday morning and leave Sunday night. He is ever with us. We see it again in the church when it began and when they had prayed. This is the early apostles, the early church in Acts chapter 4. Then the place where they assembled together was shaken. This is when the Holy Spirit was given. This is at Pentecost. And when they were what? All filled with the Holy Spirit. When they were all controlled, it made a difference in their life. So the Holy Spirit shakes the place, and then the Holy Spirit controls every one of the Christians there, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. What a blessing that is. You and I must be controlled by the Spirit. Therefore, Paul wrote the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5, if we walk by the Spirit, and again, walk is peripateo, it means the direction of your life. It means the choices that you've made. So if we are living, if we're walking by the Spirit, we will not gratify the lust of the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. You can't be generous and a thief. You can't speak the truth and lie. So you replace the old life with the new life, and if you're living the new life and are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, then you won't live the old life. You can't do both. How is this done? How do we do this? How are we able to put this into practice? Well, earlier he told the Galatians, and we see it in chapter 2. I've been crucified with Christ. Not only spiritually, we have died with Him. That's what baptism represents. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. We take people under. That signifies or represents the death of the sinner and the resurrection of the sinner in Christ. So we've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live. Why? Because He controls me. I've surrendered. I've yielded. I'm not just playing along. I'm giving everything to Him. I'm not holding anything back. That's what it means to be crucified. I didn't almost die. I didn't get a little sick or get the sniffles or almost became a Christian. I'm fully immersed in Him, and He is fully immersed in me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And because of that, and the life which I now live in the flesh, can't get rid of this suit. This is what really is the great miracle of the Christian life, is that an old sinner that has sinned a lot in this space suit has been changed from the inside out, and people can see it. And you begin to live it, and people begin to notice it, and you begin to build a testimony of the goodness of God. That's what we're seeing here. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by, let's use the word trust, faith and trust. I live by trust in the Son of God. I'm trusting that His life is better than my life. I mean, if I had a choice between choosing God's way or choosing my way, why would I choose my way? In what universe would my way be better than His way? I mean, just look over your life. How many times have you made a mistake? How many times have you chosen the wrong door? How many times have you done something or said something you should have never said and you should have never done? And then ask the same question of God. We have died to ourselves. And again, that's why I'm saying, what sacrifices do we actually make when we turn away from our desires and turn to His desire? We're the winners. What sacrifice is there when you follow God? It's all better, no matter what the outcome is. Now, the world may say you're crazy. The world would say you're kind of crazy tonight being here. Why are you wasting your time here? Well, you have a different appraisal of your time than they do, and the whole creation is going to give an account of their appraisals. That's what we see in verse 20. I live by faith, by trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I'm yielded to Christ. What does it mean to yield? It means you let Him go first. If you don't yield, what happens? There's a wreck. You get on the interstate down here, the way I go to Lebanon or go to my farm. I have to yield getting on the interstate. What if I just say, I don't care, they need to yield to me. Well, we're going to have a wreck. That's what happens every single time that we don't yield. So we yield and we are controlled by Jesus Christ. First of all, you have to be a Christian. Secondly, how do we redeem our time? Well, secondly, we've just seen that we are controlled by the Spirit of God. Are you controlled by Him tonight? I'd say that you probably are. You've done a really good thing by being here, by hearing this, by choosing many things that can be distracting and many things that your flesh might desire more, but your spirit knows which is better. What is the third thing? What else does God want us to see? Well, to redeem our time, we must make daily deposits in heaven. You may never have thought of it that way. But every day we have a choice to deposit something from our life choices. We can deposit it here and it be something temporal that it's all going to burn up and go away. And in three generations, nobody will ever remember you. They'll walk by your grave one day and they'll say, well, I wonder what they did. I wonder who they were. I've done that before. I've done many funerals and walked through and over and around tombstones and just wondered. So thirdly, to redeem our time, we must make daily deposits in heaven. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. It's temporary things. Where moth and rust destroy. And where thieves break in and steal, these are only temporary things. And think about your life before Christ and even since Christ, how we have chosen those temporary things. And we just go, oh, I can't believe I was fooled again. I can't believe I was tempted. I can't believe I sinned again and gave my life over to something that's so temporary rather than choosing the thing that is eternal. We made a bad appraisal. And sometimes we pay dearly for that. Sometimes the Lord is gracious and the punishment is swift and quick and we're back on track, but you just never know. He's going to teach us these lessons. Look at verse 20, but lay up. Jesus says, don't do this, but do that. What? Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So your temporal choices, they're going to disappear and you won't ever have them again. And you'll never see them again and never enjoy them again. They're going to be destroyed. But these eternal choices that we make, we're going to see them again. Matter of fact, they're gaining interest in heaven this very moment. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I've already said that tonight. You are doing exactly what you want to do this very moment. The choices that you and I make reveal our hearts. What we want, we'll do whatever it takes to get. It's either going to last for a week or 2 weeks or maybe a few years or for all of eternity. How much time you got? How many more times do we have to hear this? One writer put it this way: the treasures we store for eternity are the things that are done for Christ on this earth. And some of the things that we do for Christ, we may not even recognize it. Why? Because we're walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we're going to do what Jesus Christ did. And notice what he said in Matthew 5. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Those are the eternal things. So you're walking in the Spirit. You're doing what the Bible tells you to do. You're doing as the Holy Spirit is leading you. And here's, I think, the most wonderful thing about all this is that you're not consciously laying up these treasures in heaven. I think, hopefully, we're so walking in the Spirit that we're going to be surprised. I mean, like those that says, well, Lord, when did we do these things? I mean, all these others that were trying to work their way into heaven, they laid out, we did this, and we cast out this, and we were doing this. We were very religious people, and we're just waiting for our reward. They were just living in the flesh. But those of us that should be walking in the Spirit, we're going to be going, well, when did I do that, or how did that happen? And I just think it's going to be one of the great marvels of going to heaven. Because you've laid all this stuff up, and you weren't doing it, in a sense, consciously. You were just walking in the Spirit and obeying the Lord. So an eternal perspective is one that has shifted from earthly temporal concerns to heavenly ones. To heavenly ones. And the investments of your time and the investments of your energy and the investments of your resources are now primarily given toward the things that last forever. Oh, you've got to have food. We all have to have food. We have to have clothes. I know all that. That's just part of it. We need those things. We need a house. But you begin to see how temporal those things are. And when you begin to be able to start making choices, then you start spending more of your time, your effort, your money, and your resources towards the eternal. How do we make these daily deposits? Well, I believe I can show you again in Scripture. I give you real generalities because I don't want to be so specific that we just run to those things and only do those things. Again, this is a way of life. These are thousands and millions of choices that we will make between now and the time that the Lord calls us home. But I want to read through these verses, and then I want to show you what these verses are telling us to do so that we can make these deposits, not just every day, but throughout the day. Look there in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's how we do this. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That's how we do this. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily. That word means energetically, thoroughly, vigorously, completely as unto the Lord. So you're giving your whole life, your whole strength, everything that you are. You're doing this for the blessing, benefit of the Lord. Then we see in 2 Timothy, and this is just a blessing for this verse to be such an encouragement to us. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I'm going to share with you in a moment how this works into how you and I can redeem our time. And then there could be so many more verses. But again, I just am trying to give you just the generalization of how to lay your treasures in heaven. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, work out your own salvation. Again, that doesn't mean you're doing it to gain it. You've already been given it. You were regenerated by the choice of God. You had absolutely nothing to do with it. The wind blows wherever God wants it to blow. And just because it blew on you, it was because you were chosen before the foundations of the world. So you work it out. You're living it out with fear and trembling. Well, because you know there's a God. And this word for fear, it means more of a highly respected consideration. I hope my kids have a fear and trembling, not in the sense that daddy's going to whip them. They're all grown now, but daddy loves them and daddy wants the best for them. And hopefully they think about these things before they make choices. That's the thought here. He's our Heavenly Father. And then verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now let's take all of these verses and let's get some direction from them. Let's see in a general way what you and I can do every single day throughout the day to make sure that we are redeeming our time, that we are building on the foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones. Well, what do we see in Colossians 3? That anything that you can do in the name of Jesus Christ will be redeeming your time. Can you do what you did yesterday in the name of Jesus? Did it represent the kingdom? The name of Jesus means the characteristics of Jesus. His name means something. Who He is means something. Can you do this activity in the name of Jesus Christ? And if you can, then you are building up treasures in heaven. You are redeeming your time. You have appraised well. But if you can't, then you shouldn't. So this is how we're able to take Scripture and put it into practice. And then you look at your life and you begin to make these appraisals. What am I planning on doing next week? Well, can I go do that thing in the name of the Lord? As a representative of Jesus Christ, can I invoke His name? Can I say, God bless you? Can I say, well, this is something the Lord would appreciate? Is this something that I could physically take Jesus Christ to? I mean, I hope you're beginning to see what this means. Then I am to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, anything that we do redeems our time if it goes with thanksgiving to God, that we can thank God for it. I mean, obviously we know that if we choose a temptation and it turns into something that is sinful, you can't thank God for that. God, I just thank you so much. You have made me so clever. I can lie and nobody knows it. Thank you, God, for making me the liar that I am. You can't do that. Do you see these are types of questions given through God's word that we can ask ourselves so that we might make the right appraisal? Can you thank God for coming to church tonight? Can you be thankful? Absolutely. If you miss church and you go do something else, that's something else. If you're sick tonight, obviously you can't. So you can just be thankful that God has taken care of you and will heal your body. If you had to work tonight, it was beyond your control and it was just something you had to do, well, you thank God for your job. I want you to see that this is a relation that you have, a relationship with God, and that He understands that things happen. He knows if you're ox falls in a ditch. There are things that He understands about life. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being lazy. We're talking about making the wrong appraisals. We're talking about, I can't do this in the name of Jesus. We're talking about, I cannot be thankful. I cannot thank God for these things. If you can't thank God for those things and you can't do those in the name of the Lord, then you don't do them. That's the right appraisal. If you continue to do them, then you are building wood, hay, and stubble. What a life. It's going to burn up. What else do we see? We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that how in the world can we invest our time? How can we redeem our time? How can we build up this foundation that Jesus Christ has given us? Well, if we can do it for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Does it reflect His glory? This thing that I want to do, this place I want to be, does it put God in a good light? If people knew that you were a Christian and you were there, or knew that you were a Christian and you said those things, would they give glory to God? Would they say, oh wow, what a wonderful thing that person said. I just praise the Lord for him or her. These are the decisions that you and I have to make. What else? Well, anything that you and I do that causes us to trust God with all of our strength. You know, if I were to ask you who wrote the book of Philippians, you'd say the Holy Spirit. I said, so it just magically appeared? No, you'd say, no, he used Paul. So Paul used all of his experiences, all of who God had made him, and he was filled by the and controlled by the Spirit. Thus, we get the Word of God. This is the part. It's not letting go and letting God and just thinking God's just going to take over. No, he wants to use you as a tool so that he gets the glory through his creation. So that's why we're to do this heartily as to the Lord and not to men. We're to do this to show others who is in control of our lives. What else? Well, anything that you and I can do that is a blessing to someone else. A little cup of cold water that took you 10 seconds out of your busy day to give to someone that is thirsty. God notices that, but you know what else he notices? The 10 seconds that we don't take to be kind to people when we could have been. This is how we're to appraise our life. And you may be wondering again, why would 2 Timothy fit into all this? Well, anything that you do that has been equipped by God for you to do, then you are redeeming your time. Notice again that he has given us his word so that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So he has given us his word to what? To give us the truth, the doctrine, to reprove us, to correct us, and instruct us. So anytime you read God's word, and you do God's word, then you have laid up treasures in heaven and you have literally redeemed your time. And then finally, and this isn't all, this is just again helping you to begin to look for these golden nuggets in Scripture that will help you to continue to redeem your time. Anything that you and I do in the strength of the Lord, it's not just you. I mean, you could give all that you've got and it would still, without trust, it's impossible to please God. So you can give it all, your all, but if God isn't behind it and in it, then it's you can do nothing, as Jesus told the disciples. Without me, you can do nothing, John 15. And that's what we see in Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Just a couple more. And again, I pray that this is being a blessing to you and it's strengthening you. In Psalm 119, we see to redeem our time, we must read, study, meditate, and then live out God's word. We just saw that in 2 Timothy 3. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do we do this? Well, we do this by continually renewing our minds. Continually. I don't care how much you've grown, you and I have to continue to grow. We cannot plateau. We have to keep moving forward. We're forgetting what is behind and we're straining forward. We're straining for the high calling of Jesus Christ. What is that high calling? That's Christlikeness. It's something we will never attain, but it's the very thing we are to direct our lives towards. I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is just what Christians are to do. And do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every single day, we're to take off this old world and the temporal thoughts and these false appraisals and these things that we think are important. And what do we put in its place? God's appraisal. The things that God wants us to choose. The things that have eternal value. The things that would be redeeming our time. The things that we can build upon that we will send up to heaven before we ever get there. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And notice this, that you may prove by doing this. Here's the outcome, that you're going to be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Not just to yourself, but for everybody around. How do we continue to redeem our time? Not just renewing our minds continually, but also continually washing in His Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that He, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, might sanctify and cleanse her. Who? That's His bride, the church. That's us with what the washing of water by the Word. We need that. Again, you think about the philosophies of this world. We are bombarded. All these little phones that we have, we get messages throughout the day. You can follow somebody. You can like something. You can somehow throw your email address out there, and you just get spammed and called. I mean, it's just why? Because there are people that are trying to control your choices. And God is the only one that should control your choices. And God speaks through His Word and His truth. And all these other things are a distraction. That He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of this water, which is the purification of His Word. And then finally, and this is something we all need to work on. To redeem my time, I must keep my mind on heaven. Not this earth. I think 100, 200 years ago, it was easier for people because they had it harder to think about heaven. We have it easier today, which makes it harder for us to think about heaven. Just the opposite. I mean, this is pretty nice. Back then, they didn't live to be 79, almost 80. They were looking forward to heaven. That's exactly what Jesus Christ says. Well, Paul says it first. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Why? Because we just live for a moment. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen, and that's something we're going to have to discipline ourselves because we become pretty, I got to see it before I believe it type person. We don't look at those things that can be seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. This world and even the heaven as it is, this current state, is going to be destroyed. This universe is going to burn up, and God is going to create a whole new heaven and a new earth. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's Jesus Christ. Can't see Him. There are people that say that they've seen Him. No, they haven't. They're liars. They're just flat out liars. Don't be bought into that. These people that say they've gone to hell and they've come back, they're liars. It is destined for a man to die and then to face judgment. All these near-death experiences and all this, I don't argue with any of that. If somebody wants to share something about, I don't get into, that's not true. I don't have to do that. But you know what I'll do? I'll just put that in perspective. So that sounds like something important to you, right? Yeah, that's it. Well, what else has happened to you? And they might give me two or three other things that have been very important. Maybe even put a spiritual connotation on top of it. Well, I'm not going to argue about their experience. It could have been an angel of light, someone masquerading like an angel of light that is a devil that's made that very real for them. But you know what I'll do? I'll take them over to the writings of Peter, who was with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, who saw the Lord, the Shekinah glory of God revealed when Jesus pulled it back and showed it to Peter, James, and John, and it knocked them out. They wake up. They want to build a tabernacle, and Jesus says, no, we're not going to do that. I think it was Elijah and Moses was there as well. I mean, you can imagine. Then I'll ask the person, well, out of those two experiences that you had, what if you could have experienced that? Do you think this experience would have been greater than that experience? Well, who would say no? And so they'll say yes. And you know what I do at that point? Then I'll take them and I'll show them where Peter says, as wonderful as the transfiguration is, we have something that's even more sure than that. So you have near-death experience or something that you're not even going to argue with. And then you have the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, who is biblically recorded, which is incredible. And then you have the thing that trumps everything else, which is the Word of God. And then they have to say yes. And then I'll say, well, let's set these other things aside and let's talk about the most important thing. That's why you don't have to argue about these things. You just have to know how to biblically deal with people and use God's Word so that they'll listen. Why? Because you've not spoken to their emotion. You've spoken to their logic. You've spoken to what they're thinking about. And if God is regenerating their mind, it's just like delivering a baby. The baby's coming. I just got to stay out of the way. So this is what we have to understand. These are the heavenly thoughts. This is how we deal with people that may believe something different than we believe. But we always elevate the truth of God's Word. Why? Because it represents Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God didn't die on the cross for us. The Word of God didn't go to the grave and rise again. It's the record of all those things. It's a much more sure thing than the transfiguration. Therefore, we see in Colossians chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So would you bow your heads this evening? And let me ask you, are you saved? If you are, you can redeem your life. You're going to trade it for something. Have you been yielding your life? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? If you are, you are redeeming your life and you are building on that foundation. And you are being used of the Lord. Are you making daily, hourly deposits in heaven? Again, you may not recognize it. I'm not even asking you to try to name those things. Are you walking in the Spirit, really? You will. If you are, then you will. You are. Are you reading and studying and meditating and living out God's Word? You're redeeming your life if you are. And are you keeping your mind on heaven? That's something we all need to work on. So, what type of an appraisal would you put on tonight? And I pray that you'll always remember that any time the Word of God's Word is open, it is the highest level of worship. It is the greatest opportunity that we have to bring Him glory and to redeem our time. Father, thank You for this evening. Lord, thank You for depositing this truth within us. Thank You for teaching us these things. This will help us make informed decisions. We have appraisals to make tomorrow. We have decisions to make. May we hide this Word, not man's opinion, but this Word in our heart so that we won't make bad decisions and bad appraisals, so that we are literally redeeming. We are trading our life for something that is eternal. We're trading our life for something that is better than just the 80 years that we might live. And Lord, may You receive all the glory for it, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just encourage you to stand and respond as the Lord leads.